The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here is your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week I rotate through different growth strategies and different industries and different geographies. So one week I'm going to be talking about, you know, a company that is in Kansas City that's growing through franchising and they're a manufacturer. And the next week it's somebody that's growing through acquisitions and they're in Singapore and they're a professional service. So it's great fun, the matrix of what we're doing. And it's targeted to mid-sized companies. The guests, the host, and the listeners are in that mid-sized zone. Our research shows that the majority of you are in that $20 million zone. There's a second group that's at $10 million. There's a third group that are presidents and CEOs of divisions of large corporations. And there is a fourth group of miscellaneous, so welcome to everybody. And what I do once a quarter is I do a solo show and to share some of the observations I'm having in my travels. And to update anybody that's not been listening in a while, I'll just tell you a little bit about, you know, what my travels entail so you know where I'm seeing things. I've been giving about a speech a week for about 25 years. At national conferences and annual meetings of companies. I've been specializing in the strategic needs, you know, the strategic advisory level work for mid-sized companies. You know, companies that want to get on the Inc. 500 and stay there come to me. And I've grown companies myself. You know, the strategic planning business grew to 123 full-time consultants and went through a 7-year ESOP, which is very unusual size to have grown a business. I think Ed Stone and I are still the only members of IMC, the Institute of Management Consultants, that have grown our companies big enough to do an ESOP. Lots of the members are able to, you know, help other companies and their clients do it, but not very many have actually lived that journey. And so it's spun off other businesses, you know, to own one-third of a manufacturing plant on the other side of the world and become a financial intermediary. I get growth financing for mid-sized companies. And I've been an advocate to the point where, you know, I've been in the White House, in the Oval Office 4 times advising presidents. They don't listen too much, but I've been there and testified 33 times. And, you know, I do the radio show, and so you hear the idea. You know, I was named National Woman Business Owner of the Year in 2000 and I've done a couple of dozen other awards. So the reason I'm saying the pedigree is that as I travel, and I'm being considered for a couple of corporate boards at this point. I've certainly done a lot of the nonprofit and small companies. So, you know, it's the entrepreneur role, the intermediary role, the radio talk show host, the speaker role, the author role, the advocate role. So, you know, a lot of folks are calling me, and so if I'm not talking about individual clients, I've got 4 big projects right now and 5 retainers and 5 on-call people. So there's a lot of activity in my life. So for those of you who don't know me, you know, what the perspective is, those kind of things are important to hear. And my master's degrees are in business marketing and social work. Ha ha. So you're a company that is growing, and you're looking at maybe a strategic assessment of your business. And you're considering whether or not, you know, is it time for us to do an acquisition? Is it time for us to, you know, launch that second company? Is it time for us to hire that CFO? Is it time for us to be, you know, thinking about an IPO, you know, funding it differently and bringing in, you know, people's shareholders and all of that, all of what goes with it? Is it time for us to create the board of directors finally, make it official? You got those kind of big decisions. Those are the times that someone like me shows up. So, you know, in what I'm doing, all the, you know, the author, the radio show, the consulting, et cetera, I'm noticing a pattern. Recently, I'm noticing with the recession that's happening, I mean, duh, it's happening, and the increased costs, limited time, and the aging of the people that are in the workforce, and, you know, it's like this big gap. We've got, you know, the baby boomers are still working, hanging on, and the young, much younger people, and there's this big age gap in the middle. Lots of companies are having this almost a knowledge history archive problem. Because if their baby boomers leave, the younger people aren't quite up to, you know, knowing the history of the business and all the legacy stuff, smart and energetic, et cetera, but there's this big gap, that when people are analyzing their strategies, they're getting into trouble. So this is a long preamble, but today's show is about add an energy audit to your strategic assessment. Now, I'm not talking about looking at whether or not you have enough electricity in your building, although that's important, and whether or not you have enough water and all that, which is important. I don't know if the energy audit of what the people in your company are able and willing to do is being given enough consideration. And I'm going to give some examples today on the show of things I'm seeing. I'll pose the situation. You put yourself in the moment and ask yourself, what would you do? Now, sometimes I'm seeing that everybody gets so excited about there's a growth opportunity. We want something really big. We want, you know, a new product to lead the way and drive the growth of the business. And we're all excited about it. The entrepreneur is at the top. You know, if you're going to work this hard, you're going to have something really big. And so the strategic planning room, they sit down and they say, we're going to hard drive to 50 million. You know, that's a kind of arbitrary goal that happens. And it is arbitrary. When it's a flat number like that that just gets popped out of the air, in my opinion, if it comes like that, it does damage. Because what was the reason behind the 50? Was it that somebody got excited? Was it they read in a book that that was a good number? Was it that their friend had 50 and they're competing with them? Was it that they didn't do their research and they had no other number, so what the hell? Any way you look at it, when you get an arbitrary number like that thrown up on the wall saying, okay, let's drive to this number, let's drive past 50 million, let's drive past 100, whatever it is, I get worried. And one of the reasons I get worried is because the energy audit hasn't been done. There isn't the look around the room related to, are you up for this? There isn't that staring in the eye at the CFO around, is that person up for all the scenario development? Do they have the contacts at the banks and at the VCs and the various people that they're probably going to have to talk to when a big number gets thrown up on the wall? Is that person really tired out because they're trying to take care of their sick mama? Or they're going through a divorce, or their kids are having trouble, or they can't figure out how they're going to pay the tuition. You know, the more somebody's worried and the more they're distracted by their own health problems, or something's not fine home and there is a recession, is a key person that's going to make a difference in driving a piece of the business to hit that 50 up for it. And is the dynamic in the group when you put that up on the board such that they don't want to disappoint you. They don't want to admit they don't have the energy. They've got the job. They need the pay. They're smart. They're capable. Sometimes in their life, they probably would have the energy to do it. And do they have the honesty to look you in the eye and say, God, I don't want to do that. I'm not up for that. I know you're excited, you know, boss, but I don't think I can do it. And I'm seeing more and more that that discussion's not happening, that the momentum goes in the strategic planning room, as if, now there's the word, do you have as if strategic planning? Are you talking as if your employees and you and your executive team, everybody, has the energy when maybe they don't? And I just picked the CFO because think about the difference in how an accounting department functions. One minute they can be just cranking out numbers, they're putting out reports, they're telling you what was. And they're, you know, they're keeping up with the taxes and they're keeping up with compliance and they got the AP and the AR. Now, the accounts receivable is harder now for most companies. So now they're having to deal with collections. So a lot of their energy is going into just collecting money and keeping the cash in the business. The cost of debt, even when, you know, the Federal Reserve goes in and lowers, you know, the interest rates, that's not easy because sometimes people who used to think they could get credit now are having a bigger discussion with the banks because they're having to be careful. I mean, if you have a Bear Stearns, you know, come close to going under, the banking community is in flux. So it affects all of our businesses. It's not your imagination. It is harder. And then the next minute they're worried about the pricing on such because the customers are more sensitive. So they're having to run more scenarios in the accounting department to help the sales department. People in the accounting department are affected by the projections that now don't make any sense because the salespeople, you know, would like to promise that they could hit, you know, the core numbers, but they don't even know what the core numbers are now. So the budgets are tougher. The projections are tougher. The cash is tougher. The debt is tougher. If you have real estate holdings and your mortgages have been tied up in any of the complicated mortgages that we've been hearing about, now your assets are tougher to manage. taxes are being redistributed and looked at, and some of the regulations are changing. So my point is, I'm just picking one rule. If your growth strategy that you're thinking about is going to affect the accounting department, which, duh, yes, it will, if you don't do an energy audit around the individuals that are in that department, what can they handle? How upset are they? How tired are they? How healthy are they? How excited are they? Do they even care anymore? You could end up having a self-sabotaging situation just with that one department where you thought you were on a roll, that maybe the sales and the marketing people were all excited, maybe operations was ready to do something different. But boy, if you don't look at the impact on accounting, they can be this ball. You know, can you picture the bowling ball, that, you know, this big iron ball wrapped around your ankles? It could be this dead weight that holds back the company from having energy to keep it going. And you might not see it because, if you're all excited about an opportunity and somebody's yesing you to death, I've seen accounting people be very compliant. And they just kind of sit there with their shoulders down. And there's this, okay, we can do this. And they don't want to disappoint anybody. And they figure, you know, oh, we know how to do this. We'll figure this out. And they get real quiet. And they start, they start talking about, okay, let's try this, let's try that. And then there's the storm that develops in the background, where, you know, often it starts with the accounts receivable people feeling beat up and unappreciated. And, you know, I don't think the boss understands how hard this is. And so there's this internal, the department starts having trouble. And the expectation is, okay, the head of the department's supposed to solve that. Well, wait a minute. It's a symptom of, is the company going in a direction that made sense, that was reasonable, that was fair? So let me ask you, when you are doing your strategic planning, just think about this. Are you looking the head of the accounting department in the eye? Are you actually listening to hear if they're being compliant? Are you seeing if they're excited about what you're talking about or just worried? Are you having a private discussion with them about how healthy they are, how able they are in their management? Do you have the right energy level in just the accounting department? Because it can stop you. Now, I'm going to go into a couple of examples, but I have actually seen more damage done in the service departments, the ones where the client is internal to the company, you know, accounting, HR, et cetera, than anywhere else, which is why I started there. I'm going to give you some more tangible examples for you to hear it. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
We talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show, and today I'm talking about adding an energy audit to your strategic assessment, to your strategic planning. When you were looking at, okay, look at all the variables now and figure out where we're going this next year and this next 3 to 5 years, are you looking around the room and doing an energy audit of your people? Your key people that are going to be driving the major functions and the major departments have the energy. Are they excited? Are they bought in? Do they have the health? Do they have the personal situation to keep going? Or are you coming up with these ideas that sound good on paper and they look good externally? And you're going to end up with self-sabotage if you don't address what's going on, a limiting factor. Now, here's some of the things I'm seeing. I'm seeing a heck of a lot more cancers, not just in my family. In the last 5-6 years, a lot of you know that my husband, you know, had bone marrow cancer. He had multiple myeloma. And for me to think that that wasn't affecting me would have been a lie. It certainly was. You know, the caretaking role, the worry. He ended up living longer than anybody that they could find with the disease to the degree he had it. I'm so proud of him. He had a wonderful attitude. This man really, really loved life. He had an incredible will to live. He didn't live his disease. You know, we enjoyed being with each other, and thank goodness. But even that, even when Chet had that kind of attitude, was always there. So I had to be careful about, you know, a book deal that I had to just walk from, or new companies that I wanted to buy. It sounded really good, and it might have been great timing, but decision-making-wise, it wasn't a good time to do it. Now, I don't know if I'm ever going to be sure if the business decisions I made over the last few years were completely right. One of the things that happened is Chet passed away in November, and that's about 5-6 months ago now. So one of the things I'm finding is I'll go through this process of kind of revisiting decisions that I made during the last couple years, looking at the current situation and kind of doing an energy audit, not just of me, but employees and everybody, and saying, okay, what are the relationships that still make sense? What are the business situations that maybe I've left in place when I had to take care of him and maybe need to be revisited? Now, I'm not alone. Okay, and in some ways, it's very informative to live through this yet again. Life comes in waves, you know. You kind of have this time when you look at what your resources are, and you look at your opportunities, you make your decisions, and then you go through a wave of implementation. So, you know, I was going to be heading for a wave of kind of revisiting what I was doing anyway, and I think Chet's cancer just added another layer. And I'm not alone. That's the point. A number of people are at that revisit because they had to be leaving some decisions alone. All right, now think about that. You're going to be looking at your strategic planning. Let's say, let's bring a situation. Let's say you're a distributor. You got 2-3, you know, hubs. You've got lots of trucks out there. Gas prices are making you really think about where your next location should or shouldn't be. You've got manufacturers that are putting a squeeze on you. Price is really being compromised. You're trying really hard to just hang in there. Add on, if you were living through anything like what I was talking about, add on whether or not it's your spouse. It could be, you know, the head of pick a department, shipping and receiving. It could be the head of, God forbid, you know, marketing or sales that has a significant disease. Now, I'm seeing an awful lot of cancer, so let's just layer it. All right, you're a distributor, you've got multiple locations, you're under a lot of pressure, and one of your key people has cancer. You don't think that's going to affect what you do? Oh, yeah. Especially if they've been there a long time and you're invested in them. Energy-wise, are you ready to take on replacing that person? Are you ready to take on letting them go? Most of us, when we look at something like that, talk about energy, there is a tendency to leave it as is. there's a tendency to, no, we don't want to do anything to upset because this person's been with us for a long time. Let's just leave everything in place. Let's leave the trucks in place. Let's leave the hubs in place. Let's leave the product in place. Let's leave the same kind of marketing and sales. There is inertia that happens. And it's not just a recession. It is when you have a big health issue that you're dealing with someone you care about, puts you in a you get very, very tempted to not change. I've just lived it. Let me tell you. There is, you know, there's a reduced decision-making ability, and, you know, you don't want to put too much in motion because you can't tell what's happening next. All right, let's say you're in that position, and I have said to you, it's probably going to put you in a mode of indecision, being flat. So now you're going to the board, or you're sitting there, at the strategic planning table, and surprise, surprise, you report that things are flat. How do you know how much is the recession and what the customers are doing versus what is internally caused? Because you care about your employees, you care about their health, you care about how long they've been there, and you have something that's telling you to stay put, don't change, don't continue. Now, here's a punchline you might not be expecting. I have found in my situation and in my clients that somebody who's been with you for a very long time and is sick is not wanting you to stay still. They may not be able to be the leader of it as much as they were before. Chet couldn't have been the one to lead a big change in our life when he was going through chemotherapy and radiation and such. But one of the key things that he was able to say to me was he didn't want us to stop. He didn't want us to stop moving forward. And so when it looked like we were both having inertia, or it looked like it was affecting my business and it was having inertia, he got upset about it. And I'm finding that some of the people who have cancer and are in these companies in big positions are the first ones to say, don't let me be your excuse. Don't stop. It's bad enough I've got cancer. Don't be the one that, don't have it be that you're sitting there talking about how bad the business is doing and talking around me. They're the first ones that feel like it's bad enough they have that problem. They don't want to have the business slow down because of them. Now, they may be able to support your changes in an emotional way. They may be able to get more excited than you think. Don't underestimate somebody who's sick. Just because they don't have the energy to drive it, they may actually have an energy to encourage it. Hear the difference? I've seen some people who are going through chemotherapy and radiation, and they look as tired as they could possibly be. They look all gray. They don't have any color. And they can be the best encouragers from behind. So isn't that a time when you might put in a little more help? You have somebody who's got the legs, the energy. Again, it's an energy audit I'm talking about. The legs, the ability to get on the phone, the ones that could write the proposals or, drag the stuff, whatever it was that physically needed to be done. But you might be surprised that a VP of operations or a VP of sales that you think doesn't have the energy to actually drive something may be the exact emotional energy behind a key initiative, and you're going to feel a whole lot better. You follow it? They may feel really guilty. They're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be upset. It makes it look like everybody around them is dying along with them, and it doesn't have to feel like that. And it was created because of the emotional energy to have inertia. So I want you to think, there's an awful lot of people going through this. I'm seeing this over and over and over. It's just amazing how often I'm seeing this. It's not just that Chet and I had to go through it. There's enough cancer and there's enough baby boomers, there's enough aging population, there's enough sickness, there's enough stuff out there. Some of it's environmentally induced, guys. Think about when you're doing strategic planning, ask yourself honestly, are you leaning toward inertia with an irrationalization that there's a recession, there's this, there's that, and a piece of why you're not taking on, taking the bull by the horns is a key person sick. Don't let your business die right along with that person. Now think about the alternative. I'm actually seeing in some of the businesses out there that the phrase, true wealth is earned during recessions. How different would the energy be for your organization if you were the one that's acquiring? If you're on the move, looking for new opportunities when someone else is getting tired between the baby boomers, the recession, and getting sick, there's an awful lot of people that are looking to get out. They just need to retire. They've had it. If you're on the move, And you're the ones that is looking for the new products. You're the ones that's going to have the energy to go to the bank. You're the one that's going to be thinking about making, you know, a new location. You're the one that's going to be improving the website. You're the one that's going to be, you get it? How many good deals could you possibly get? And how exciting is that for some people who also are dealing with some health problems? It actually is the energy that makes them care and makes them think, you know, that it's worth going through all the agita of having the treatments. It might be one of the things that helps some of the people you care about actually heal. All right, let's keep going on this. What makes you not do it? Because I know some people that intellectually, they know true wealth is made during recessions. They know that they can run the scenarios. They can look at the numbers. They can see the deals. They know what I'm talking about. And then they give me that look. See, there is the energy audit. First, it's for the people around you. Take a look around and see if you've got somebody who's sick. Take a look around, like in the accounting department, like how I started the show. Look and see if people have the energy and are ready to make a move. But you've got to ask yourself, you know, the key visionary, the key leader of the business, if you're flat, if you've had it, if you've had the energy sucked out of you, it is very difficult to rationalize and get all excited about something that involves taking a chance. Especially look at an acquisition. There's an awful lot of acquisitions that should be happening right now from a strategic viewpoint. But in my opinion, an acquisition is a company in search of a CEO. I mean a live, energetic, wow, you'd follow that person anywhere, CEO. Not somebody who's limp, flat, the light isn't behind their eyes. Can you feel it? So what do? If you've done the energy audit, you can see that other people probably need some more excitement. They really need something big to make all this hard work worth it. But you really, if you're honest to yourself, you're the one that's flat. You're the one that's had it sucked out of you in the last several years. And you're the reason that it's not going to go. It's not the sick VP of operations. It's not the sick VP of, or, you know, leader over sales. It's not the recession. Who are you kidding? It's you. And I want that to be what we take to the break. And I'd like the producer to move us. Let's take a break and think, what if it's you? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Money, money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you ever had a bad day and wish someone could come along and change it at the flip of a switch? Do you dream of living the life of wealth, great relationships, and the perfect job, but don't know where to start? Then tune into The Winner's Attitude with corporate trainers, motivators, authors, and hosts Jeff and Val G. No difficult strategies or complicated keys. Jeff and Val present a powerful and effective technology to switch your operating system to create the most amazing life. It has been said that winners have simply formed the habit of doing amazing things. Winners know how to activate that switch, and so can you. The Winner's Attitude with Jeff and Val G. Broadcast each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. The Winner's Attitude. Switch me on.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking about adding an energy audit to your strategic planning. When you do a strategic assessment of your business, take a look around the room, including yourself, to see what energizes the key people or what drains it. So let's do some good news. Sat down with a couple people who were starting another business. One guy's a serial entrepreneur, and he got another partner, and the guy's brilliant. You know, his partner's brilliant. And, you know, they're trying to make decisions about where they're going with the business. And some key questions about what drains or excites them completely changed the dynamic of where their business is going to go. I'm going to draw the punchline. In their case, they were selling projects and you know, piece at a time. They're selling at the mid-level in pharmaceutical companies, and it's almost like reading the book Selling to Vito. If you've never read that, it's a great book, Selling to VITO, the very important top officer. Well, the dynamic of selling projects to product managers or people in a lower-level position in pharmaceutical companies that have tight budgets and not enough authority, it's almost demoralizing, especially if you're an industry leader and you're really bright and you think strategically. That's a person that needs executive-level selling. So the key thing that had to happen for this company pretty quickly in the discussion was, oh, God, if you're going to be leaders, you've got to sell at the executive level. You've got to point out that you're leaders, change your marketing to show that you're in a leadership position and educate the CEOs. And then even if the CEOs of your prospect companies have to say, okay, now you have to go down and talk to these, you know, product managers, et cetera, to implement it, it's a whole lot more exciting and a whole lot easier and a whole lot more energizing to have it go down from the CEO rather than try to sell up from, you know, a powerless manager. You understand that? Just from a marketing viewpoint, it's so different. The body language of the CEO, when I was talking with him, just changed. That one question of what's draining your energy, what is just sucking it out of you? And it was that sales level being misplaced. So sometimes the point of this is sometimes what's draining you is so obvious. Now, you might not want to admit it, or you might think that you're stuck with it, but you might not be. I'll give you another one. I'm dealing with a university, it's an Ivy League university, it's an institute, and, you know, boy, talk about a competitive marketplace with the grants drying up and the state budgets and the private endowments, and oh, my goodness, and there's competition for the key people, and it's intense, and, you know, particularly in the Ivy League, there is this, you know, impression that you've got to be ahead of everybody on every plane, and you can't fess up what you don't know. There certainly is a lot of pressure to not actually address problems. I mean, it's funny, they're supposed to just magically go away. You're not allowed a problem, and you can't address the problem. You can't admit you have a problem. Well, ugh. So there's private sessions with people trying to figure things out, because to be ahead of everyone else, you better deal with it somehow. That living as if everything's fine is very, very difficult for some institutions of higher learning. Okay, so the strategy session comes, and so what do you need? Again, the question is, what's energizing, what's not? Well, one of the things that's not energizing for people in this particular institution was the secret. You know, the idea that we have to act as though everything's fine when it's not. And it was important to have participation, that, you know, folks are working really, really hard. They've got all these degrees and lots of capabilities. Just finding a participative method for strategic planning where it would still feel private, where it would feel like people's, you know, opinions were heard, and that somebody was going to listen to what was truly going wrong, and not just bitch, not just complain, but actually address it. That process question of how can we have that energy made all the difference in the world. It's not the punchline. It's not, you know, exactly what they're going to do. They're going to figure it out. But spending a little bit of time and money to have an energized strategic planning process turned the body language around. See it? Ask the question, what's draining us and what fuels our souls? What gives us energy? If you're not having, if the way you're doing business isn't giving you energy on a day-to-day basis, it's really hard to make money. It's hard to retain people. It's hard to attract people. And that's the whole idea of strategy, is you're trying to create a magnet of pulling customers to you and pulling employees to you and pulling money to you. And if what you're doing feels like push, 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 it doesn't work. I mean, it comes down to some basic things. Let's look at the energy field of your business. I know it sounds parapsychology-like, but you get the idea. You really are kind of pausing and asking, is the energy field of our business making sense? I'll give you another one. Manufacturer of a product, and it's really innovative, very competitive in the food service kind of market. And, you know, the contracts come in millions. So if they land, you know, think of a big buyer, General Mills or Kellogg's or Kraft, okay? Any of the big ones, Nabisco. If they wanted your product, they wanted your machine, and you could have it in millions, would one account, would two accounts, would three accounts make a huge difference in your business? Well, no duh, okay? So what if you found yourself trying to figure out your processes and you're tripping over yourself and you're not getting the time to go after the big accounts and truly take care of the big ones? Now, that's not hard to see. You know how frustrating that is for the engineers? Think about, you know, the tailoring of the machines for little accounts that don't pay and go away. Think about the energy of the people who are delivering when there's all these different people that they're dealing with, compared to focused energy on landing big accounts. And it's like Dave Kerwin would call, you know, bag the elephant. Think of the energy of managing your business to go after the four or five key accounts that could make or break, you know, the business, that could make the difference in your business, that could explode the growth, you know, set you for a while. How different is your process in marketing if you're aiming at a core group of star accounts? You don't have to be all over the place, pleasing everybody, kissing everybody's ring. You have to really make sure you know the key decision makers on the handful of key accounts that matter. Same thing with prospecting. Your dinners, your entertainment, your proposals. If you're going after a key group of star accounts, you're much more focused. You don't have to agonize over your contact management system with thousands of names if it's a really focused effort. You follow it? So in this case, this particular example I'm giving you, the key was, you know, who do you really want as the customers? And kind of get lost in the behavior of those and the procedures of those, and let the energy of taking care of the ones that are worth your time drive the engineering, drive the staffing, drive the money, drive the market. See it? And it pulls you into decisions. It becomes self-evident. Once you make up your mind, who do you really want as clients? Let's try another one. See, now, I've tried manufacturing. I've tried education. I've talked to you about a construction-related. Okay, how about, let's try a professional service firm. There's a few of those I'm dealing with and recently. All right. Your energy level, you're excited when you have customers that are on the move, that are trying to do something, not the ones that nickel and dime you to death and they're just looking for incremental this. You really like to have the ones that are trying something complicated. You've got so much experience. You've spent the money and invested in a very creative staff, and you know the kind of clients you want. And you look around and you look at your staff, and you know the key people who are doing account work are hot. They're really hot. But something's not right in the management, in the operations management, in the day-to-day. You know, it depends on your company what you call them. The VP of client services just isn't right. Or the manager over operations just isn't right. When it came time to negotiate equity, they didn't even want it. When it came time to go out on a celebration of the company, the person couldn't even get dressed up. Now, I have about, it's not just clients now. I mean, I've been seeing this for the last few years. There's something going on with the leaders over client services in a number of professional service firms. If I could stop my business and kind of, you know, take a look at it in an academic viewpoint, it'd be interesting to see all the sociological, psychological, physical, personal, et cetera, reasons that position is starting to have trouble in a lot of companies. Okay. If it's not addressed, if that dynamic is not addressed, think about it. How much of an energy sucker, I mean, just sucks you dry when you're going out to sell? How can you get all excited and sell a big account when you're worried that the person who's over client services isn't going to get excited and might not motivate the key people? Or you might lose some of those wonderful young people that you've invested in because their boss is flat. Now, I could tell you a dozen companies, and I can't legally and ethically, but I can tell you about a dozen companies where this is exactly what's going wrong, is the person who's over client services, they're not comfortable. They're not right. Now, there's lots of reasons. Sometimes if they're sick. Sometimes it's just they really wish they could retire and feel stuck. Sometimes it's they've got a spouse that's nagging at them and wanting them to do something else, and it's just worn them out. Sometimes it's that they should have made a different decision 5 years ago and didn't, and they're just running out of energy. Sometimes it's you as an owner, you're so intense that you've taken over the reins in a way that you didn't realize, and you're undermining what that person used to do and now can't. There's a lot of dynamics going on that's messing up that role. Okay, the point of this is what? Do an energy audit, and if you're not addressing that depression, the sink, okay, it's not energizing. That role, for some reason, is not energizing. You can't avoid it, is my point. You can't act as if. Hear the difference? I see too many people trying to do strategic planning as if the role was okay, and the person was okay, and it's not true. So it may be annoying. It may be aggravating. It may be tiring. It may be, oh, I can't believe I'm having to deal with this again. I know that feeling, but you can't avoid it. You can't. You can't strand that person. You can't strand yourself. You can't have it. The clock ticking, almost like a time bomb or a landmine, whatever analogy you want, on their business with, you know, it could implode. You know, what are you waiting for? The young people to leave? Are you waiting for your clients to complain? Are you waiting for the money not to be there? How bad's it got to get? So even if it's difficult, if you've got somebody over the production side of the business, you know, the operation side, the billable side of the business, you got to deal with it. I have somebody out in the Midwest that's struggling with this, and they just want to avoid it. It's the CEO just, you know, they're trying to wish it away, and it isn't going to happen. I know somebody on the West Coast right now in a fairly large, very visible firm, and what they're trying to do is have the young people, you know, do their job for them. You know, they're just abdicating the CEO role and hoping that the young people can manage their boss. I know somebody in Europe that is their approach to this is to just get mad. They're just, you know, beating up. They're just, you know, just getting hostile to their person who's over client services and hoping that the person quits. Now, those are all avoidance techniques. And you know what? It's okay. You can live through this. It's worse if you don't. This is The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler talking about energy audits. We'll be right back.
One K's, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Small business owners, do you want answers to your most pressing financial concerns? Do you want to stop stressing about money and finally understand how to create wealth? Let Elizabeth Potts Weinstein and the Wealth Spa Radio Show answer your most pressing financial and legal questions about your small business and help you achieve business success and the lifestyle of your dreams easier and faster than you could imagine. The Wealth Spa Radio Show broadcasts live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and we're talking about energy audits being added to your strategic planning and your strategic assessments. So let's be specific about it. Okay, you look at your, you know, the marketplace. You're looking for the dynamics of where your prospects are going. You know, what are they? Where's their pain today? That's where your new products. That's where your new money is going to come from, right? When you do, I mean, when you're looking externally, it isn't just, you know, what's the market, what's the recession, and what's the money side of things. The more important question is, where are your prospects headed, right? Well, now I say that, but you know what I'm finding? These are how these are interactive. If somebody hasn't done an energy audit about their own management team or themselves, they don't have the energy to look at the external. I'm seeing an awful lot of strategic planning done with guessing and saying, this is what we're good at, this is what we can cope with, this is what we can afford, okay, let's just keep doing that. Whoa! If the marketplace is changing to the point where it's making you tired, this is exactly the time that you've got to look externally. I'm seeing more need to do customer surveys, you know, get on the phone and have somebody, you know, I've been doing, interviews with my clients recently, and it's very educational. It's extremely important for them. It's saving them a lot of money, making them a whole lot of money, and it doesn't cost a whole lot. If this is important, this is the time for you to find out what would they pay for, where is their pain, where is it going, so that you don't inadvertently, you know, spend all your time and money on the wrong thing. See how these are related? If you don't manage your own energy, then you don't look at the energy of the external, and you don't look at what actually drives money. So let's say it again. When you do strategic planning, make sure that there is an updated look of where the market is going so that you don't step on yourself and keep perfecting something that's maybe insignificant or, you know, doesn't even matter. All right, so you do an evaluation of where the market's going, what's the competitive kind of field, what are the things that maybe that would tell you how fast your company could grow. And one of the external factors is, you know, are some companies out there that have maybe been competitors of yours tired out, and they might be looking to sell. Or there's some key employees where they haven't listened to a show like this, and the boss is being a pain in the butt, and they're no fun to work with, and everything, you know, they're avoiding, and they're not looking at energy. And there's some talent out there that you could cherry pick. That's exactly what could be done. If you open your eyes right now, there are some key employees. Some of them are getting laid off. There's some hot talent out there that could energize your business. Think about this. If you looked at the marketplace about what people really want, and you looked for the people, the companies that are ready to sell, so that you got some energy and you got some, you know, you saved yourself all the grief of creating it yourself, and you got some talent that you didn't think you could afford or wasn't going to be able to steal away from somebody before, now you've got this re-energized feeling about your business that you're on the move. Very different feel to it. So start with the external. Then you look at the execution piece. Okay, some people look at the cash piece. I actually like to look at, all right, if this is the strategy that we want, if that's what the marketplace is telling us we need to do, a lot of folks have this fear reaction of, oh, my goodness, if that's what the marketplace needs, oh, how do we do that? Forget yourselves, forget the money. Go right into what would it take. it probably is going to take some technology. It's probably, and I haven't even told you what kind of company it is, to really respond to the marketplace dynamics, to really go aggressive, to really look at how do you create wealth during a recession, to capitalize on things like acquisitions and acquiring hot talent. It costs money. All right, this is real strategic planning, though. When you say, all right, what would it take? It's an out-of-body experience. You can't worry about yourself and you can't worry about money. You just have to ask, what would it take? This will tell you how fast you're going to grow, could grow, should grow, whatever the word, you know, I hate the word should, but, you know, probably should, to make a difference, to have the business go to the right next level, not the next plateau, but the next set point, a dynamic point. And it might not be $50 million. It might be 47.2 in 3 years, whatever the dynamic tells you. And it may take a certain amount of money. Okay, then you look at, all right, if it's going to take this kind of cash, this kind of money, this kind of people, this kind of structure, it's like it's going to be feeling like looking at another business. And you ask yourself the money question. All right, what's the source of money? Should it be an IPO? Should it be the venture capitalist? Should it be the banks? How much money do we have? How much leverage do we need? Keep going in this abstract discussion. And then look at the people and ask yourself, okay, does this excite us? Can we imagine ourselves doing it? Are we up for this? What's missing? What would we need to take care of us to take that on? Because you abstractly already said from the business viewpoint, from the external viewpoint, from the client viewpoint, from the customer viewpoint, see it? That's what's needed. That's where we should go. And here's what it would take. Then your energy audit has a context. Because you may find a key person that you want to keep and you want to take care of is just missing something. Maybe they're missing an intern. Maybe they're missing some training. Maybe they're missing a leave of absence. Maybe they're missing some pay, whatever it is. But if you've taken the sequence from external to the execution to the money and then talked about the people and the how, you probably could see some of the money to pay for some of the help for medical or leaves of absence or letting somebody go. We're giving a promotion, but it's a lot more powerful than if you just start with, we're tired, there's no energy, let's just stay the course, let's keep working. That's the problem I'm seeing with an awful lot of people that are doing what they think is strategic planning, and they're actually doing tactical, day-to-day, operational survival. We're not going to change anything, let's just protect ourselves, hunker down, and it's demoralizing. See if you can change your strategic planning to something that is energizing. And all I'm asking is include that last step. An honest look at the people to see what you need. Because if you don't, you strand them. Because now they see this aggressive strategic plan. They see, you know, something that is big. It might scare them. It might overwhelm them. It might make them tired. And if you don't have an honest discussion about it, all it feels like is the boss wants more, 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 and is going to pull it out of their bodies, and it's draining, and it doesn't matter. And that makes it even worse. So you got to promise that the last step is we're going to look at ourselves and make sure that we take care of ourselves and that we can do what's being agreed upon. Follow it? Look at the sequence of what you're looking at when you're doing strategic planning to make sure that it doesn't start with problems, doesn't start with we can't, doesn't start with how do we just protect ourselves? That's not strategic. That's avoidance. Now, I'm going to give some contact information because I think I'm going to have stirred up some things today. And I'd like to hear your examples of what you're doing to make sure you don't get sucked into rationalization, avoidance, and just trying to, you know, put Band-Aids on the companies now while we're going through such a tough time. Anybody deals directly with me, the toll-free number is in the United States is 1-888-ALDONA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. And if you know my name, the email is easy to get, aldona@ambler.com. I welcome your comments and your suggestions for guests and your suggestions for topics. But this one on can you do an energy audit, can you take a look around the room and make sure that the people that are going to be executing the strategy you're coming up with are actually up for it, and you've built in enough protection for them that they feel cared about, that they have enough help. Even with when you don't have money, sometimes there's some pretty inexpensive ways to get people, quote, help, for them to be able to do it and not have it be this leave it as, boss, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to tell you I can't. I'm going to do the best I can, but I'm just, you know, I'm going to, and at the end of the day, if I can say I've done a decent day's work, that should be enough, and the hell with them. Ask yourself about the energy audit. My wish for you, as it is every week, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Eldonna Ambler, signing out.